You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
You know that nursery rhyme, Johnny, Johnny, yes, Papa, eating sugar, no, Papa? Well, Boris Johnny is going through some of those questions. He's been asked repeatedly now if he said lies to the Queen about proroguing Parliament. And he, of course, is saying no, Papa, until, of course, it all ends in a ha ha ha. The White House, meanwhile, has got a big victory on immigration from the Supreme Court. The Trump administration is working to ban flavored e-cigarettes, and those were just a few of the things that happened across the world. But of course, on Stories of the Day, we start local and then go global. All that took place in the world today is what I bring to you in about 25 minutes. My name is Rakesh Sharma, and you're listening to Stories of the Day right here on Money Control.
Editor's Pick of the Day.
Let's start, as usual, with India business stories. India's markets could easily see a 10% return in the next 6 months, and that is a buying opportunity for investors. This, according to a strategist from Credit Suisse. The Nifty 50 has declined around 8.71%, while the S&P BSE Sensex has slipped about 7.44% as of yesterday's close from their highs in June. Asia Pacific CIO's Credit Suisse chief investment strategist Suresh Tantia told CNBC, and I quote, "Every time the market has corrected by 10%, it's always been a good buying opportunity unless there is an external risk." Tantia pointed to the low price of oil currently, with international benchmark Brent crude futures sitting at the low $60 per barrel level. India, which is of course a major crude importer, is especially vulnerable to any increases in oil prices, being heavily reliant on the commodity. More expensive oil would lead to a widening current account deficit for the country. Additionally, India faces no political risk following PM Modi's landslide election victory earlier this year. Meanwhile, the country's central bank is also cutting interest rates, and the government is offering some sort of fiscal stimulus support. India is also a defensive market, which is more domestic-oriented, Tantia went on to say, leaving it relatively insulated from the ongoing US-China trade war. So, there could be 10% return in the next 6 months, according to one analyst. Whether Ola and Uber are responsible for the drop in vehicle sales, pre-owned cars just might be. The used car market in India grew from 0.8 times of new cars in 2012 to 1.2 times in the year ended March 2019. The spurt pushed up the annual growth rate of the segment to 11% versus 4% for the new cars in the period. New car sales suffered their biggest monthly decline on record in August, as deliveries fell 41% from a year earlier to 1,15,957 units. According to analysts at Edelweiss Securities, the nature of the current slowdown, coupled with slowing income growth, household savings, and the evolving buyer profiles, are likely to rev up used car sales at the cost of new car sales. Pre-owned vehicles are now perceived to offer better value for money than newer models, according to the analysts. The attractiveness for used cars improved further after the government slashed tax on pre-owned vehicles to 12 to 18% from 28%, depending on engine size. The abolition of Article 370 and the bifurcation of Jammu and Kashmir into two union territories is going to boost the retirement saving corpus of EPFO, that is Employees Provident Fund Organization, by over 15,000 crore rupees. This as the central body takes over the state PF corpus. The central board of the EPFO has given a go-ahead to the proposal, which will bring in more than 12,000 firms and establishments under the pension fund ambit. The process is expected to add around 300,000 plus subscribers under its purview, this according to government officials. So far, Jammu and Kashmir was governed by its EPF scheme of 1961 and Employees Deposit Linked Insurance, that is EDLI-linked scheme of year 2000. Since the state was enjoying special status under Article 370 of the Constitution, it had no influence from the Central EPFO Act. The Central EPFO Act also provides pension benefits to its subscribers other than the Provident Fund and EDLI benefits. As EPF systems of J&K and Ladakh get centralized, organized sector workers of both the UTs will also be eligible for pension facilities. India does not feature in the top 300 world university rankings 2020 list by Times Higher Education. In the past few years, India had been the fifth most represented nation, and this is the first time since 2012 that India dropped out of the top 300 list. India's best represented university, that is the Indian Institute of Science in Bangalore, fell from the 251 to 300 cohort last year to the 301 to 350 bracket, this time due to a significant fall in its citation impact. However, it improved in research environment, teaching environment, and industry income. On the other hand, the upcoming Indian Institute of Technology, Ropar, debuted in the ranking with a joint top position of 301 to 350 with IISc. Around seven Indian universities fell into a lower band this year, while the bulk of the nation's institutions remained stable. However, there were a small number of risers, including IIT Delhi, IIT Kharagpur, and Jamia Millia Islamia. Overall, 56 Indian universities featured in the table this year, up from 49 last year. As a result, India held on to its place as the fifth most represented nation and the third most represented in Asia, after Japan and mainland China. According to Times Higher Education, the best Indian institutions are generally characterized by relatively strong scores for teaching environment and industry income, but perform poorly when it comes to international outlook. Soon, you won't just get away by paying a fine when you violate a traffic rule. It will also have a bearing on your motor insurance premium. About a week after the government implemented the Motor Vehicles Act, the Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India, that is IRDAI, formed a 9-member working committee to examine linking premiums with traffic violations. The IRDAI circular, dated 6th of September, came after the government emphasized that traffic violation history be considered as a parameter to fix motor insurance premiums. Until now, the premiums were typically dependent on the car's make, model, and variant. The move is expected to discourage traffic rule violators and reward good driving behavior and help India adopt global practices. The IRDAI committee has been given 2 months to recommend the implementation framework and methodology, after which a pilot project will be undertaken in Delhi to implement the premium formula. Turning now to international business news, the International Energy Agency, that is IEA, expects the US to challenge Saudi Arabia's position as the world's leading oil exporter based on its booming shale production. The US momentarily surpassed Saudi Arabia as the leading oil exporter in June after crude exports surged above 3 million barrels a day, lifting total exports of crude and products to nearly 9 million barrels per day. At the same time, Saudi Arabia cut back on both crude and refined product exports. Saudi reclaimed the top spot in July and August, as the US was affected by hurricane disruptions. The ongoing trade dispute also made it difficult for US shale shipments to find markets in recent months, the IEA went on to say. China and the United States are disrupting trade in much of the world with their trade war, but Mexico may be a winner. According to John Murphy, Senior Vice President for International Policy at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Mexico has been able to build on its emergence as a manufacturing hub with free trade agreements that offer guaranteed access to more than 50 countries. He went on to say, and I quote, Mexico has a number of key advantages in comparison to other cheaper labor options, predominantly in the Southeast Asian region, as a manufacturing and export platform, primarily due to its close proximity to the U.S. market and tariff-free access. There are substantial degrees of integration between the two countries. There are 36 million Americans of Mexican descent, hundreds of billions in annual bilateral trade, and more than $100 billion in U.S. direct investment in Mexico. Much of the discussion about countries benefiting from the trade war has focused on smaller nations in Asia, like Vietnam, or other economies whose companies have shifted operations home from China. But a report by investment bank Nomura pointed out that Mexico has seen six new factories open there between April 2018 and August 2019 in a range of sectors, including electrical equipment, electronics, automobiles, and components. So, in the trade war between the US and China, Mexico is certainly the winner. Iron ore faces a long, slow slide over the coming half decade. Prices are poised to decline over the long term as the impact of weakening demand in biggest buyer China will more than offset gains in consumption seen in other emerging markets, including India, according to Citigroup. Iron ore's fortunes and those of the top miners in Australia and Brazil, including Vale SA and Fortescue Metals Group Limited, largely turn on the strength and trajectory of demand in China, which buys about 70% of seaborne cargoes. As Asia's top economy slows and the government steers growth away from infrastructure and heavy industry to consumers, steel demand is expected to flatten and then ease, although there's no consensus on the timing of this shift. What's happening in the world elsewhere? The U.S. Supreme Court today allowed the Trump administration to bar most Central American migrants from seeking asylum in the country while the legal fight plays out in the courts. The court said the administration may enforce new rules that generally forbid asylum applications from migrants who have traveled through another country on their way to the United States without being denied asylum in that country. The court's order was a major victory for the Trump administration, allowing it to enforce a policy that will achieve one of its central goals, which is effectively barring most migration across the nation's southwestern border by Hondurans, Salvadorans, Guatemalans, and others. Mexican migrants who need not travel through another country to reach the U.S. are not affected by this new policy. It was the second time in recent months that the Supreme Court has allowed a major Trump administration immigration initiative to go forward. In July, the court allowed the administration to begin using $2.5 billion in Pentagon money for the construction of a barrier along the Mexican border. Last year, the court upheld President Trump's ban on travel from several predominantly Muslim countries. Justice Sonia Sotomayor, joined by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, dissented, saying that the court's action will upend long-standing practices regarding refugees who seek shelter from persecution. A no-deal Brexit could result in rising food and fuel prices, disruption to medicine supplies, and public disorder on Britain's streets, according to secret documents the government was forced by MPs to publish yesterday. A five-page document spelling out the government's planning assumptions under Operation Yellowhammer, the government's no-deal plan, was disclosed in response to a humble address motion. The document outlines reasonable worst-case planning assumptions for no-deal Brexit, highlights the risk of border delays, given an estimate that up to 85% of lorries crossing the channel might not be ready for a new French customs regime. The situation could last for up to 3 months and disruption might last significantly longer, the report went on to add, with lorries facing waits of between 1.5 to 2.5 days to cross the border. The reliance of medical supplies on cross-channel routes make them particularly vulnerable to severe extended delays, the report went on to say. On food, supplies of certain types of fresh food would be reduced, as well as other items such as packaging. Low-income groups will be disproportionately affected by any price rises in food and fuel. Protests and counter-protests will take place across the UK and may absorb significant amounts of police resource. The documents also outline a potential impact on cross-border financial services and law enforcement information sharing. The Trump administration said on Wednesday that it would ban the sale of most flavored e-cigarettes at a time when hundreds of people have been sickened by mysterious lung illnesses and teenage vaping continues to rise. The Food and Drug Administration, that is the FDA, will soon outline a plan to remove flavored e-cigarettes and nicotine pods from the market, including mint and menthol flavors. The White House and the FDA have faced mounting pressure from lawmakers, public health officials, parents and educators who've grown alarmed by the popularity of vaping among teenagers but have felt powerless to keep e-cigarettes away from students and out of schools. Just to give you a sense of numbers, 5 million minors, mostly in their high school years, reported that they had used e-cigarettes recently. About a quarter of the nation's high school students reported vaping within the last 30 days in this year's annual survey, up from 20% last year. In a quick look at what's happening in the world of tech, Nintendo has filed a copyright infringement lawsuit against the owners of ROMUniverse.com, which is a video game emulation website that advertises itself as boasting downloads of more than 60,000 different games. Nintendo claims that ROMUniverse violated its copyrighted work and trademarks by providing free copies of Nintendo games. These sorts of copies, called ROMs, can be played on a PC or other device using emulation software, circumventing the need for Nintendo's popular video game consoles. Nintendo says in the lawsuit it identified at least 3,200 of its own titles among the ROM collection on ROMUniverse.com, and at least 200 of the games were for the Nintendo Switch, a console released in 2017. Instagram appears to be working on a new feature for stories that allow users to create videos in a way that's quite similar to how videos are created on popular short-form video app TikTok. The new feature called Clips was discovered by reverse engineer Jane Manchun Wong, who often finds unreleased features and additions on social platforms. According to Wong, Clips allows users to post videos on their stories that are recorded in snippets and then spliced together. The feature also seems to allow users to overlay music over their clips and adjust the length and speed of those video segments. So essentially, TikTok on Instagram. In some other pieces of interesting news that I found today, scientists have invented a device that can quickly produce large numbers of living entities that resemble very primitive human embryos. Researchers welcomed the development, described in the journal Nature, as an important advance for studying the earliest days of human embryonic development, but it also raises questions about where to draw the line in manufacturing synthetic human life. Other scientists have previously created synthetic embryos, which are also known as embryoids. These entities are made by coaxing human stem cells to form structures found in very early human embryos. The new work takes such research further by creating a method that can rapidly generate relatively large numbers of embryoids, which should significantly improve the ability of scientists to study early human development, called the black box, the first few weeks after fertilization, when the embryo is hard to study. A long-standing guideline bars scientists from conducting research on embryos in their labs beyond 14 days of development for ethical reasons. The ability to produce large numbers of embryoids, which are not subject to the 14-day guideline, will hopefully provide scientists with new insights into important health issues, including how to prevent birth defects and miscarriages. In addition, researchers could use the embryoids to screen drugs to help determine whether the medications are safe for pregnant women to take. Meanwhile, a doctor who slipped a sedative in her patient's coffee before administering a lethal drug to her has been acquitted of breaking Dutch euthanasia laws in a landmark case. Prosecutors had accused the unnamed doctor of failing to consult the 74-year-old who had Alzheimer's, but a judge ruled that a declaration written by the patient 4 years earlier had sufficed. Applause broke out in the courtroom after the court heard that the doctor had been right to abide by the woman's stated wishes and that there was no legal duty to verify the current death wish in such a case. The judge, Mariette Renkens, told the court in The Hague, and I quote, "We believe that given the deeply demented condition of the patient, the doctor did not need to verify her wish for euthanasia." The court's verdict was seen as an important test of the Netherlands' pioneering euthanasia laws, given that people are living longer and are more likely to develop conditions that leave them confused in their final years. Well, that's it. I will leave you with what happened in the markets here in India. After mostly trading flat, benchmark indices witnessed a sharp decline towards the end of the day as investors turned cautious ahead of the ECB's policy meeting that is expected to deliver a stimulus to arrest a slowing global economy. Investors also waiting key macro data in the country, that is IIP and CPI, industrial production and retail inflation. The BSE Sensex today shed 167 points, closed at 37,104.28. ICICI Bank being the top gainer, Yes Bank being the biggest loser. NSE Nifty 50 slipped below the crucial 11,000 level to close at 10,981. That is down 55 points. The broader market, BSE Mid Cap, lost 25 points. BSE Small Cap rose 16 points. Well, in some good news, the New York Times has reported that NASA has spotted the Vikram lander, and we'll see if that can be revived. And more news from that will, of course, as soon as we get it, we will be sure to transmit it to you, just like the Vikram lander. Of course, I'll see you first thing in the morning tomorrow with a morning walk down the Lal Street. Until then, do write into us, man. I love reading your emails, mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until the next time you hear from me, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us, and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been today's Editor's Pick, and you've been listening to Money Control.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app.